I made something like that when I was two, and my dad beat me to death.
With the pot!
Fandible.com. Tools don't fail, people do. Yeah. And we're a bunch of tools.
Uh-oh. It's like, I wasn't here. Everyone saw me in town.
You just knock over a lantern and, like, burn it all. They're not going to give me this.
They're not like, but soft, but like the outer window breaks. It is dinner, and back off, this is mine.
We're going to let you pick out one story to tell us every day, and we're going to give you either a black mark or a red mark. And either way, they both mean I don't want to hear it.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Fandible.com role-playing podcast with your host, NGM Jesus Rodriguez. Today we're going to be playing Dungeon World, a fantasy game using the Apocalypse World, a hack of the Apocalypse World engine. Yeah. And from what I've read so far, it looks really interesting. Might be good for the group. We'll see how it goes. Also, magic.
Also, yeah, this is I think, our first foray into a proper fantasy setting.
Mm-hmm. We've done fantasy, actually, before. Once. We were barbarians.
Yes.
That was interesting.
Yeah, barely. I was a barbarian, and I was awesome.
Yes.
Okay, so apparently our some people's distaste for fantasy, it can be replaced with min-max twinking, it sounds like. Yeah. You're willing to forego the fantasy tropes that you don't like as long as you can rend mountains with your bare claw hands.
Says the guy who hates an unhallowed metropolis because he can't make a roll.
Yep. Yeah. Oh no, I'm straight. I am prepared to hate this game too.
So am I.
Nice. I'm already halfway there. Okay.
Halfway?
No. All right then. Moving on.
Dungeon World. Sorry, you just seemed like you needed a second, and I was helping.
Yeah,
it's a theme song now.
Yeah. All right, starting from my left. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. Sorry for my right.
You almost smacked me in the face with that bottle.
That's why I'm...
That would have been offensive. Like, go, bam.
Ow.
Go ahead.
That was glass.
All right. Name, character, etc.
Hey, everybody. This is David. I'm playing a cleric, because who doesn't like to play the bandage, right? Band-Aid. My character's name is Carmine. He's a creepy cleric, a holy man... philosopher lives on the outskirts of our town, Kadesh, and he is a very nice man that does a lot of different good things for the town. And the god that he worships, also known as Sali, is a god of thresholds, and teaches my character, Carmine, as he bestows this wisdom to the rest of the players and the NPCs, is that life is full of transition. And that you should embrace it and understand what it is and not fear it. Sometimes that transition is into adulthood. Sometimes that transition is to is through a process of life or location. And sometimes it is to understand the crawling madness that lurks just beyond our peripheral vision within our realm of sanity. Fighter?
Hey, this is Billy, and I'm playing Gadius. And I came from a plane where, the gods used humans as pawns, as they do, I'm sure, every planes. But my gods, two gods in particular, gained quite a bit of power in my realm, the Shadow God and, the Blood God. I don't speak their names. And I was part of the Shadow God's army. He blanketed the earth with darkness. Nothing would grow. The Blood God required the elves to sacrifice large portions of their population. Our world was dying. And in a desperate attempt to flee it, some elves and humans joined forces and killed one of the few remaining gods, other than the two left, and it opened a portal to what we were told, according to the legends, to another plane. But along... when I went through the portal, I found myself in between areas, I suppose. But luckily for me, I was able to find a village that had been placed within the in-between, as I call it. And I have gotten work as a blacksmith, and I'm just trying to live my life. Honestly, I'm happy here. There's no gods, that's how I prefer it. Hopefully I can convince some of my companions to forgo some of their old... tiresome ways. Thank you.
So judgmental. Hi, everyone. This is Angela. I am playing Siobhan the Druid. My original plane was the Great Forest, so I am well able to commune with the animals of the forest and also take their shapes. Also quite adept, because I am a human, I can take the shape of domesticated animals. And now that I am in this this new plane...
Like the one on your lap?
Yes, yes. like my...
You can become an obese Oreo cat. That's awesome.
I still call it an oval.
Oh, yeah.
It's just an oval.
Living pillow.
I want her to become a Jinjin.
Yes.
She's talking.
You can become a Jinjin if you want.
Yeah,
it is a domesticated animal.
Of course, you have it.
Just don't stare in the mirror.
It's you basically lose intelligence if you become a Jinjin.
I'm sure.
It's so stupid, it sucks away your human intelligence.
Yeah, okay.
No. Anyway,
I'm going to say something more.
No. Because people like to be disrespectful. And in addition, because I'm now in this new plane that is a very, very dangerous place, I have studied the essence of one of the dangerous animals that lurks in the forest.
Just don't say its name.
Unicorns.
No!
No!
That didn't sound like fear as much as it did. That's better.
So that's that is my druid thing, becoming all sorts of animals, and it's fun.
What's your role in town?
I'm kind of a scout. I do not live in Kadesh proper because people and buildings, and I don't really like that. Much prefer to be in tune with nature. So I live just on the outskirts of Kadesh, and to do my part to help support the town, I act as a scout to be kind of the first warning system in case danger is approaching the town. And also, I have been known to hunt for the town and trade food for shinies.
I guess it bears mentioning that when we say Jinjin, we're talking about giant quasi-indigenous birds that are used as transportation and as pack animals. In the
they're
town.
Like ostriches.
Yeah, they're ostriches. Like, yeah. They're incredibly stupid.
Yeah, they're like giant ostriches or chocobos, flightless, dumb. I just love the idea of you seeing a bunch of orcs coming our way and freak out, like, oh my god, poof, I gotta warn everybody! And then like,
squirrel! Yeah. The thing about Jinjins is, basically the way like you climb off of it, after you're like, you don't tie it up to a post, you just throw a handkerchief over its face, and it believes it's night, and it goes to sleep.
Yep.
So, right outside of the cavern, there's people who just throw a blanket, like something over the Jinjin's head, and it falls asleep. Also, during battles, when you're trying to chase someone down, people try to throw a blanket over the Jinjin.
It's amazing.
But there's also a way to confuse it. To keep them from breeding at an exponential rate, which they do, if you put them in a barn at night, you put them in front of a mirror, and they'll stare at it all night.
Eerie. Yeah. It's eerie.
But if you forget to take them out the next morning, then eventually you end up with a barn full of dead Jinjins.
Yeah, they don't. They will die. They will just die. Yeah.
Barn full of dead Jinjins, also a band that tours around here.
All 100 miles of it. Short tours. All right, and that brings us to me, Dan, and I am playing Jonah the Ranger. He was basically born in this in-between place, grew up, you know, learned its ways, learned the ways of the forest, protected the small town where he lived and grew up, and about 5 or so years ago, he went off into the woods, either looking for herbs and spices or whatever, or scouting for danger, and just never came back. Everybody pretty much assumes he's dead. And that's
nice
all
you
know for now.
Nice. Fucking unicorns got him, clearly.
Fucking unicorns, man.
Like, yeah. Seriously, now that you came to look for me? Dude, a unicorn.
Leading killer of villagers. But, I mean, it's unicorns. A close second is heart disease, but really it's unicorns.
They are incredibly vicious. We've seen them tear people apart. Like, just... Like, have you seen that scene in Starship Trooper when, like, a bug gets a hold of a guy and throws him into, like, a horde and they just rip it apart?
Yeah.
That's unicorns.
Yeah.
Those fuckers are the scariest things I've ever seen.
Or they drag a claw across your belly, spilling your intestines. The point is, you're alive when they begin to eat you.
Oh, and they love to eat you.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they got a taste for human meat. Yeah. They like it.
Yeah. There's a rumor that the only way a male unicorn can become sexually aroused is by killing another creature.
They're awful.
Mating season is horrible.
Yeah. Horrible. They are an awful, I mean, these are not the unicorns of other planes. These are the most vile, vicious monsters ever. We assume there's actually a legend. actually that when the gods were creating the universes and all the, everything like that, they wanted to add unicorns, and these were the batch that they fucked up. And they're like, oh god, I need to throw them in the trash, and this is where they got dumped.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. These are the overly cooked unicorns.
Yep. A lot of stuff gets dumped into our plane of existence in this lovely little fantasy setting. As we found out, there are certain organizations in other worldly locales that use this as a dumping ground for everything from
glowing green sludge.
Yeah, technological doohickeys that we don't know what they do. And, most importantly, convicts. Convicts, apparently somewhere, somehow in the expanse of the realms beyond, there is a civilization that pushes a lot of their worst convicts into a portal, thinking that they go to, apparently, a place of hellfire and brimstone. But actually, they wind up here.
And they believe this mainly because one time when they opened the portal, a unicorn came through. Yeah. It's all like that through that portal. Fuck that shit.
Yeah. And there was a fire that the unicorn had lit behind him. Yeah. It's just fire and unicorns. Yeah. And that unicorn went on to rule that land with an iron hoof.
So not too far away from Kadesh, there is, Sweet Town?
Sweet Town.
Sweet Town.
Sweet Town, which was founded by the convicts that we chose not to rehabilitate.
Or chose not to even give it a shot.
Yeah,
we welcomed them to our town, and they cut off the diplomat's head. So we decided that he's not allowed here. So there's constantly, whenever there's a giant thunderstorm or lightning storm or electric storm, actually.
Yep.
That's usually a good sign that something's coming through, and that's when we send people out to search for whatever the hell dropped. Like I said, hope it's not that like green glowing sludge in those barrels again. That put a lot of us...
The unicorns loved it, though. Yeah, that was like unicorn soup.
Yeah.
They could not get enough of that stuff.
Made us sick as shit, but
yeah. Yeah, no.
Nice.
All right. Toxic dump.
It gave me superpowers for a week.
Tumor
started.
Yep. Hey, little cat. Doesn't need my bang.
Bleeding from your eyes is not a superpower. How much he keeps saying it.
It's the only thing that gives me hope. All right. The camera starts off. The camera opens up deep in the dark forest, zooming through the numerous trees until it eventually hits what looks like an old ruin. Tall pillars, strange reddish stone, into a sort of almost Arabic types style towards the ruins. But obviously it's been there for who knows how many thousands of years. Going through the numerous streets, he goes to one side alley that seems different from every other part of the ruin. Where everything else is just the old reddish stone, this part seems more like more gray. And more, not new, but lived in. Around this one street, though, there's numerous cracks forming around it. Numerous cracks around it that also in the redstone itself. And as one looks down the street, one notices something very tall, something lanky, but in the dark it's hard to see, rush past. Then, about an hour later or two.
That's a long opening.
Well, we have to run the credits.
Okay.
And, you know.
Okay. About an hour later, another form walks through. What does this form do in the darkness? All
right. They're through the forms, through the shadows. Yeah, they're slowly, carefully, on nearly silent feet, walks a tall, thin man. Hooded cloak, the color of the stone that he walks around. It's kind of like urban camouflage, as it were. He pauses at the edge of a shadow and lifts up a bow, sort of like sniffs at the air, looks down at the ground, and mutters to himself, "Ah, crap, he's at least an hour ahead of me." And, you know, steps further back out.
Okay.
And, you know, sort of, this looks familiar.
All right.
Unicorn.
Your camera down in the distance, you hear the and you're like,
I turn around and end of game. Let's play something.
The camera starts to go black as the Toadie Stranger goes dashes off into the forest. There's a small message corner. 3 days later, and we head off into the town of Kadesh. The camera zooms into the gold gates. The gates open up, and we see standing guard is what was his name? I wrote it down.
Rhaegar.
Rhaegar and his faithful companion, Stevens, the Golem. Searching off. Well, Rhaegar is there staring Golem, just staring blankly at nothingness, waiting for orders. Zooming off past the tavern called the Savage Yard, with curses streaming out from a very tiny voice. You assume most likely is a half. Going through a schoolhouse, numerous kids with a gentle soul teaching the children about life, death, and the universe around us.
That's right, but good little pumpkins. Now, who can tell me how many is 3 + 1?
Okay. I hate you.
I knew you were going to make them rim. Like this fucking insurrection of children. I know the second this game opens, you're going to be like, and they get into your night. Like, you're like your poison patch, and they all die, and now you're a murderer.
Jesus Christ! What? You get the dangerous mind kids like just dropped off their inner city. They've lost. I believe in these kids, though, man.
Exactly. Oh, they're in the deadly nightshade patch. Oh God!
Zooming past the King's schoolhouse, past a druid selling her the numerous animals she's taking to trade for what exactly?
Shiny things.
For numerous shiny things.
And other animals.
And other animals. To free them. And possibly eat them. She's really hungry. It's part of nature. And zooming past towards, you hear a large clanking of what you can only assume is a blacksmith. Standing there is... What's your character?
Marta. Caedius.
Caedius, working as best as he can, but he seems almost like a worried expression on his face. Like expecting something, and then he hears something behind him, and he's getting ready for it, and he hears, "You son of a bitch! Is that how you hit the mantle? Is that how I taught you?"
Marta, I say, as Caedius turns around, kind of almost clutching the hammer threateningly, and points it towards she doesn't want to mention she's balding in the beard, a thinly balding woman, beard balding, a dwarf, sitting in her rocker, and just glaring at him. He's like, "Marta, this is a pot. I am making a pot."
And is that not excused for making substandard crap?
It's not substandard. It's a pot. We're not going to war.
It only lasts 20 years.
20 years? They will be dead. The next unicorn.
And what about his family and his children? You have to think ahead. I made something like that when I was 2, and my dad beat me to death.
With the pot. Caedius flickers a gaze out towards the window, kind of gauging what time it is. Of course, Marta knows that he's wanted to definitely go out and see, what's your name?
Siobhan.
Siobhan, knowing that she was Vin, and he turns back, he's like, "It's going to be fine. 20 years is a... Sell at discount. I don't care. Listen, this is a fine pot. I follow instruction. The only problem you're having with it is this slight nick, and that was not even my fault. That was the metal itself. It's crap.
Blame the tools for your failure. Tools don't fail. People fail."
Woo! Says the audience.
Once again, he clutches the hammer, then he slams it down on the anvil, nods his head slowly, then tosses it aside, and it's like, and he forces a smile. "Marta, then I will go to the shop and see if they have better metal. Thank you." He grabs his sack and sack. He grabs his it looks like almost like a saddle, satchel. He throws over his shoulder and he just marches out.
Okay, and you see Murray just staring at him with vicious in his eyes. And as soon as he turns around, that vicious turns to a bit of softness, like, "All right." And then you see she spits something up, spits a massive water spit into a spit can in the corner somewhere. Bing.
And that spittoon has been around for over 100 years.
Yeah. She made that when she was 10.
And she beat herself to death.
I think that's what she always says, like, "I beat my..."
To death.
Yeah, to death. And then I was bored to death. I beat to death.
I starved to death. I was burned to death.
When she was married...
No. Yeah, well,
she was married to death.
Yeah, fun body. Moving on.
Fandible.com. Tools don't fail, people do. Yeah, okay. And we're a bunch of tools. Write that down.
Yes. That's going on.
Cadius is, he knows he's late, and he knows that, what's your name?
Siobhan.
Siobhan. Siobhan doesn't stay long in the city, I'm guessing, you know.
No.
So he's running towards the gate to try to catch up to her before her and her cart or whatever of stuff.
Shiny things that she's traded for.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. As you're...
There's a trail of Jen that are also trying to follow her because she's got mirrors in her...
Yeah, people are actually grabbing the Jen and they're like...
You actually do catch up to her. Not near too... fairly close to the gate, but you're passing through one of the... lived-in sections of the city. A few houses before heading off the main gate.
Siobhan. Hi.
What?
Good to see you, too. It's always rare to see you coming into town, and I thought I'd just be one of those people. Okay. Anyways, I got you some stuff. To trade for the that dead squirrel there. Yeah, that looks delicious. He opens up a sack and he starts digging through stuff.
Piece of shit pot.
I have a
piece of shit pot. She's like, there's a chip in it. He's like, no.
He pulls out like a plate and he runs a quick... like iron wool over it until he holds it up. It's kind of it's very shiny, kind of. It's a metal that kind of almost can work as a mirror. Mm-hmm. He's like, and I thought this would do.
She takes the plate, holds it up, tries to catch the light, blinds a couple Jen. It's like, it will do. Sits it in her cart, hands you the desiccated. She's like kind of like she's learned not to question people because
it's the squirrel people that everybody passed up the entire time. Like, I don't want that squirrel. I'll take that one.
It is scrawny. It's actually roadkill.
Yeah, it's pretty much roadkill. It got run over by some gin.
Actually, the same cart that she's pulling right now.
Yeah, I picked it up on the way into town. So technically, it's the freshest.
Yeah, there we go.
But it's squished.
Yeah, yep, it's squished.
Yeah, this looks. Are you leaving so soon?
Yes, I look at my cart filled with shinies and no more animals to sell.
From this episode of Quarters.
All I'm saying is it's getting close to night, and there's the tavern, there's the... Okay, well, it was great talking to you. As we get to the gates, I'm like, it was.
You're close to the gates. You're not at the gates. As you're passing my house, you know something up. Basically, your job is as a person's blacksmith. As a person's blacksmith, you're also the go-to. You're also the gopher. Basically, you're off getting items from numerous houses. Nearby, there's a house of a person, Darrett, and his family. And sometimes he gives you bits, odds, and ends to help with your blacksmithing. You know, still that some of the door. Is open with the lights inside because he likes to have candles all over his floor are also all out, which is kind of odd.
Great. You see me kind of
you
squinting towards
smell
the
blood.
Squinting towards the door.
Yeah, and then I go. And I look toward. I assume it, I smell it in the house. As I look at you looking at it, and then it's like I set the plate in my cart. And then I just go in.
Hey, okay. I'm actually, on my belt, like I actually have a fairly large, looks fairly large, sinister looking, it looks worn and torn and broken and chipped hammer. And I grab it, I pull it out, and as soon as I pull it out in my hand, I click a button on the side, and it actually grows, like the end of it grows into almost to a staff, and I grab it, and I'm following her behind her.
Okay.
So it becomes from like a one-handed hammer to like a war hammer?
Yeah.
Yes.
Sweet.
You enter the home, looking around. You notice immediately, the front area is fine, but as you notice, some things have been tipped over. Something bad has happened in this house.
And who is it again?
Darat is his name.
Darat.
I poke my head in, looking around. I frowned. Darat! It's Gadius!
Sounds.
I move towards either stairs or they're downstairs, upstairs.
There's an attic, but there's no basement to this one.
I move towards the passage of the attic, and I'm pressing my hammer against it and pushing it up.
You push it up, and a ladder falls down. And what also falls down is an arm falling down, as well as a pool of blood going down the ladder.
Oh, I immediately run to the window and I, you know, push it open and I look towards the nearest person walking by and I'm like, get Radagar now.
Okay. And, right.
And he's and I'm rushing and then I'm moving back towards the stairs. So what are you doing?
I'm going to climb up into the attic, and I want to. I'm going to climb up into the attic, and once I'm up there, I'm going to turn into a coyote. I want to be a scavenger animal, so that it could, you know, begin to tell us like how. Based on what I figure out, like how long ago did this happen? Judging by how fresh is this body for in a scavenger's mind? How delicious does this smell?
You do a good spell. It's been very recent, like a half an hour or so.
Make sure to pee on it so people know it's yours when they show up.
Yeah. Like a half an hour or so.
All right, well, I'm going to do it.
Okay. So, yeah, whatever killed them has been half an hour. Just looking around, you know, like the window out of the attic is, like, it's obviously open, and bloody footprints are running, have run off as well.
What sort of footprints? Like human footprints?
Humanish.
Okay. Not an animal.
It's not an animal. Okay. You can tell it's not an animal.
Is there any sign of what, you know, is it a stab wound? Is it a, you know, has the throat been cut?
Claws.
It's like, I wasn't here. Everyone saw me attack.
You just knock over a lantern and like, burn it all. They're not going to get me for this.
Yeah, I'm rushing up the ladder and I have actually found a candle that, you know, he said he had candles. I lit it for me and quickly shown it around, trying to see the inside. Of course, I see this coyote, and it kind of jerks me just for a second, second, until my brain quickly realizes.
When in the light, you see that the fur on the coyote's head is actually dark, sleek, fine feathers, and that is the tip because Siobhan's hair always looks like that.
Siobhan, I stand up and I'm running towards the window and look outside to see if I can see where the tracks lead.
Okay, give me a discern realities, please.
No.
Discern realities?
I'm sure that's a basic
move. It's a wisdom roll.
It's a wisdom roll. I'm trying to figure this out.
Yep.
Oh, good, thank God it's wisdom. My lowest stat. So how do you do it? So 2d6.
2d6.
And then depending on your roll, you'll get to ask questions.
3 to 1 question.
9 plus 8, I guess? Or do you...
It's your modifier.
Yes. 9, so 8.
You get to ask one question from these below.
Yes.
So I can ask who's really in control here and what's here is
if
not
it makes sense
for
the situation.
Yeah. What is here that is not what it appears to be?
You take a look down at the footprints. You can tell the general direction where it is, but you also notice from how deep they are. Whatever it is, it's a fairly big, nasty creature. You see, look at the footprints themselves. Obviously, foot humanoid, except its feet seem to, like, the way it's pressed down seems like, the way it's pressed down seems like claws. Something nasty.
Quick question. Yeah. Footprints are leading deeper into town or out of town?
Out of town.
Okay, so one more thing you notice as you're looking out into the, you know, you're trying to see where the footprints lead, you see a flash of movement just going out, you know, into like the woods or whatever. It's sort of something gray and cloaked, just like
as
just out of sight. Just like there was something there. Maybe probably.
As soon as I see that, I say I yell for Siobhan. It's like something's at the gate, and I'm jumping out. And what I'm doing is, as I'm jumping out of the window. I'm clicking on another button on the hammer, and it extends a little bit more, so the hammer head gets stuck on the side of the window, kind of lodges me out, I twist my arms, and I fall the rest of the way, landing in a crouch, and then I stand up, grabbing the hammer, and I'm running towards the gate, screaming, "Open the gate! Okay. Open the gate! Murder!"
It has happened. You've heard about... You start overhearing what's been happening recently.
As you're trying to deal with your own flock. Yeah. Fuck you, did you know because of that language? I hate you! Where are your parents?
They're dead! They were in a fire!
I didn't need no parents!
Because I need my unicorns.
This is the last time I teach the Sweet Town children.
I'm sure they're very nice kids.
Yeah. Okay. Let's say that my pet raven, Demetrius, comes over with a little note attached to his leg, and I untie it and I look at it while the children are learning numbers, and I read it, and I pat the little raven and I say, Children, good news. It seems like your mommies and daddies miss you very much, and they've asked me to cut lessons short today because they want you home before the sun has reached the outer hills, and since your mommies and daddies are so nice, we're going to do the assignment that we were going to do tomorrow. Does anybody know what that is? And all the little children hold up one index finger, and he says, "What good little pumpkins!" That's right. Each one of you is going to quickly go into my garden and pick out one vegetable, and you're going to bring it home to Mommy and Daddy and ask them to cook it for you. Now remember, if you like it, bring back a parchment with red marking. If you don't like it, bring it back with black marking, and be prepared to tell me why. Go, go, shoo, shoo, shoo. And the children all, like, scatter off, and then my character grabs his philosopher's staff and starts walking towards the town. And then I set the wolves on.
Run, children. Make the wind.
This is the real lesson, children. Trust no one.
If you survive, come back with a parchment.
You all prepare to explain
why you survived.
You all eventually meet up at the gate.
Okay.
Go from there.
I skid to a halt as I kind of squint because it is getting kind of, it's not dark yet, but as you said, the sun is approaching the hills, which is kind of casting a shadow on everywhere thing. Mm-hmm. I spin my, I click on the button of my hammer, it goes back into just a single hand mode, and then I'm aiming it towards the, pointing it towards the forest, and I was like, I don't know what I saw or what direction. It was heading definitely through the gates, though.
All right, Carmine comes lumbering up the hill slowly. He's a large man. He's flabby, dressed in common garb, mostly just like, you know, sacken cloth shirts and trousers, with wild curly mismanaged hair and eyes that portray a really intense curiosity and keenness, which contradicts pretty much the rest of his roly-poly nature. And he's kind of breathing heavily as he comes up the hill. Inya Karius, Inya Siobhan. Why all the bells?
I look towards Carmine to shake my head a little bit and to say there's been a murder. We think we saw someone. I can't. Do you know where they ran off to?
I'm not going to become a wolf.
Okay. Become a wolf.
How does your transformation, is it a very pleasant looking transformation, or is it like,
it's a transformer like,
yeah.
Or
no, it's really gross. Yeah, it's probably disgusting.
It's like,
it's like a, what's it, those like TV series, Animal, not Animal, basically the guy transforms, like Hemlock? Any show, like the guy transforms.
Oh, Manimal.
Manimal. Basically.
Why am I, no, I don't know that.
Alright. So I got a 7, so I've got a hold of 2, so I've got a little while for this, I imagine.
So what are you trying to do? Sorry.
I became a wolf.
Oh, you became a wolf.
I like the idea that every time you transform, it's like an indecent moment where all the gentlemen look away. But really, it's like, and there's like a spray of blood, and we all kind of like shield our eyes.
Yeah, kind of looking down at Carmine's like, so the children are learning about vegetables today.
Yeah, vegetables. I'm really excited about this class. This is really
right.
And as you're talking, you hear massive steps behind you of Rotober's golem. Just step in front.
All right, so now I want to, you know, smell and figure out where did this person or
certain
thing
realities.
Go. That's what I thought.
Does being a wolf give you a bonus to that?
Let's see. I would assume that a wolf would have a move.
It depends if she's hungry like us.
Okay. I bet, would probably as a GM decide if she gets a move that increases that.
For now, I'll just say it gives you a +1.
Okay.
And then we'll figure out moves and stuff about that later.
Yeah. Now I have Duran stuck in my head.
3, 5, 6. Nope, I failed that.
You failed that? You can't just...
Now, if I recall correctly, you get an experience point because you failed the roll,
yes.
But now something negative happens as dictated by the GM.
Oh, so it's actually okay to fail.
Yes.
Yeah. You learn through failure.
Yeah, okay. I would just point out that on the other hand, because like, I know at least for my moves, there's usually like there's something that's dictated that happens on a miss.
Mm-hmm.
In the move for discern realities, it doesn't say anything about what happens on a miss.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the stuff that you gave us, Jesus,
yeah.
It doesn't say that, but the forums that I went to said pretty specifically that the good side to a miss is that you get an XP. The downside to a miss is the decided by the GM. By the way, it's not guaranteed. If the GM wants to, like, for instance, in this instance, you know, your eyes probably don't start to bleed or something. Okay, okay. But if it was like, I look for where the orcs are coming from, then there's a pretty obvious, like, bad result. To
okay, family. There is a bad result, but not what you think. Basically, you do take... Unicorn. Now that you mention it.
Okay. No. Unicorns don't come out during the day. Everyone knows that.
It's nighttime. Remember, you did say the night was sun was coming down.
That's true.
Night is coming.
You do take a whiff, and you're able to determine where the thing's coming from. You're also in the same direction. You smell something else. Something unicorn-y.
Uh-oh. My people.
Yeah.
So I, because these people do not have spirit tongue and cannot understand the words of animals, turn back into a human. It's like, so there's a dude out there. It's like, yes, there is a person out there, but perhaps more pressing is the presence of at least one unicorn.
A unicorn coming towards us, dear, or a unicorn perhaps chasing the person away, solving both of our problems?
You can't determine.
I'm kind of leaning back on my heels as I use the back of the end of the hammer to scratch at my head. My hair, of course, is incredibly black, almost raven black, which goes with my incredibly pale skin. Cadmus can almost be confused with being an elf, how lean he is, pale, black hair. But the fact is, he does have stubble and no pointy ears. Mm-hmm. Kind of a clear giveaway. No, he's a human. He just comes from a very malnourished place. but he kind of looks back towards the golem, frowns, because he doesn't like the golem either. Then he's like, golem, where's Rudigar?
Right here. He's standing actually right behind the golem. Like, he's expecting something.
Stands out majestically now that he knows it's safe.
Rudigar, there was a murder, and I'm afraid the person ran off in that direction.
Was it Sweet Town?
That's what I'm afraid it would be. And if they get back that they were able to break into our town undetected, then...
Did the man, Jesus, run off in the direction of Sweet Town? When they pointed towards the forest, is that in the direction of Sweet Town, or is...
Yes. I think almost every direction should be a direction of Sweet Town. It's just, is it the quickest way to Sweet Town?
Yeah.
Is it the quickest way to Sweet Town? No.
Okay.
It was something else.
I don't know. It could have been something.
Do we know if anyone in Sweet Town... Because the fact that he has humanish feet, but also has claws, it's like, alright, so I'm thinking someone that has shape-changing abilities. Do we know if people in Sweet Town have that?
Give me a spout board, please.
Da-da-da, that is...
So intelligence.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, I get a plus one.
Mm-hmm.
5, 6. Nope, it's a miss.
Do I know anything about Sweet Town? Is it intelligence?
So did Angela just get another experience?
Yep.
So is it every time or just once per session?
As far, again, I don't have the whole book, but as far as I could tell, it's every time you totally blow a roll, because there was a discussion on the forum about like, well, then why wouldn't players always try to use their worst attribute? And the answer from the moderators was, because then the GM can decide to do a move against you. You create a move against the person who blows a roll in exchange for the XP. Yeah, your character just learned something, but you learned something because something negative just happened.
Mm.
Yeah,
I have, I think, 8.
Okay. You, as far as you recall, you can't be 100% sure, but you're pretty sure no one has shape-changing abilities.
Rudigar, what do you think? Do you think we should send a party after it?
Whatever it is dangerous. If it's from Sweet Tooth, we can't let it warn. If it's something else, we gotta take care of it now while the trail's still fresh. Good luck with that.
Well, your job is not to go out into the woods. You're supposed to keep the people safe from the gate, so...
That's true. And it takes out his flask and starts drinking.
I kind of close my eyes and just...
For Durat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, it was Durat?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Durat.
Oh, poor man. He had such demons.
Well... I will, I could use the guide.
Durat and his family.
Oh, and his family. What kind of family did Durat have?
Wife and daughter.
They're not there, though. Mm-hmm. We only saw found one body, right?
I didn't say one body.
Yeah, you said one body.
Yeah. I said one body?
Yeah, you only had one body.
Oh, that's true. I did say... Oh, sorry.
Or, yeah, this would be totally different if we found a kid and, like...
Okay.
Is the kid missing?
Then the kid is missing, yes.
And as soon as you bring up, like, you know, like, that poor man, and I say... And I kind of squint trying to remember. It's like he had a wife and...
Julian, his little boy. Julian didn't show up for classes today.
I look towards you. It's like, was there a... I did not see a body of a boy up there.
Oh, sorry.
Never.
Nope, there was not.
Shit, he has a kid. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Siobhan, could you try to lead us in that direction?
Of course.
Okay. I'll go as well. Yes, I'll go as well. Thank you. Keep the town safe, and I start moving off. Clearly, my character is kind of the mind of you're not going to go with us. What's your name again?
Carmine.
Carmine. He just doesn't view you as a... Yeah.
Okay. All right. Carmine understands.
I'm actually going to change my bond. I don't want Siobhan to be... I worry about their ability. I'm going to have Carmine. I don't trust your ability to survive in this world.
Okay.
Because well, he was out of breath as soon as he
exactly like I don't I view you as a citizen, so mm-hmm. I'm just saying thank you. And we are heading off mm-hmm. without you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So he kind of looks around and looks at the sun for a moment and says, "Well, I suppose if either of you are poisoned by the unicorn, I'm sure that Siobhan's healing's more than adequate."
You see him. I remember, like, her healing considered it was very painful. I kind of paused.
It involved like, poisoning you with an alternate poison?
Yeah, it was all like, I kind of just lowered my head, and there's a heavy sigh, and I turned towards mm-hmm. Carmine. Do you think you can keep up?
Of course, Pumpkin.
Of course. Kind of squint at that. And then I just sigh again, and I turn around. Come on.
Right. I look over at one of the chin-chins and it shudders at my girth. And it's like, I will walk.
Yeah, chin-chin, you don't riding chin-chin in the forest is kind of hard because it's a lot of quick turns and chin-chins are pretty stupid. They yeah. kind of just run.
Yeah.
If they go into a panic, they crash into everything.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Yeah, certainly bad for stalking. And it will go into a panic at a squirrel.
Yeah. So it'll become like the spear race through Endor. Except for, like, way more haphazard. Wow, that was a nerdy reference. Ah, that kind of stung. Anyways, okay. So, yeah, Carmine goes and grabs his nothing. I start with, like, four things.
Okay.
So, yeah. All right, I come along.
Okay.
And away we go.
There we go.
Into the forest.
We're going to an adventure. No, that's a move. No, I'm not kidding. That's a move. Going on an adventure.
What?
Take a perilous journey?
Correct.
Oh, my gosh. So, what, we have to roll for this?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's why it's really important to have somebody with high wisdom, because it's a wisdom roll. All
right, so...
And there are, like, four things you need to do.
Okay, so there's a quartermaster, a trailblazer, and a scout. Basically, a quartermaster reduces the number of rations required by one. Mm-hmm. How many rations are required per journey?
I know.
Okay.
Honestly,
it's half. Like it was happened a half an hour ago. It's not going to be that big of a. All right,
so
quartermaster. So let's not worry about that too much mm-hmm. right now.
Oh, and Angela doesn't need to eat or drink.
Yes, yep, that I also do. Is important.
Which is right. Awesome.
On a 10 plus, a trailblazer reduces the amount of time it takes to reach your destination. We'll say mm-hmm. about much. And on the 10 plus, the scout will spot any trouble quick enough to let you get a drop on it.
I kind of assume that I'm the scout.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right, so we need a trailblazer.
I'll be a trailblazer.
Okay.
That's really funny, though, because you're like, oh, he's huffing and puffing, and then, pew! Carmine takes off.
I view it more as, like, you know exactly which path to take, since mm-hmm. you're God.
Yep.
Okay. And I'm assuming trailblazer is wisdom or intelligence?
Wisdom.
Wisdom.
Okay. And roll plus whiz.
Yep.
So it's... Wisdom, no matter what, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Each character did the job.
No, you really didn't. Because when strength is needed, strength is needed.
Yeah, just wait till it's
five, six,
five.
Seven. Seven.
Six,
seven. Yeah, that's good.
Seven as well?
Mm-hmm. You're basically able to get to your regular destination with no real issues
mm-hmm.
whatsoever. Just walking across. You're able to somewhat follow the path. It's something strange about this. You're following. It smells wrong.
Plus, there's a unicorn out here.
Plus, you know, there's a little unicorn out about that. Honestly, if you had rolled a six, a unicorn would have appeared.
Then I would have been a unicorn. Unicorn fight.
Unicorn fight!
Now I'm reaching starter.
Wow.
Following on the path, you actually rolled a seven? I got all of that. You start to know soon two sets of preference, the creature and somebody else.
Side by side, one after another.
One after the other.
Okay. Someone else is on this trail.
Could it be the boy?
No. No, so in fact, if he has the boy still, he is carrying it.
Then my guess is he must have met someone from Sweet Town, probably an associate. They're moving back that way. My character is convinced this is Sweet Town. I said we fought. Let's make haste. Let's go. Come on, Carmine.
I walk out from behind a tree. I'm right here. It went this way.
You're like turned around and yelling at a dead oak.
Yeah. Carmine, come on. I'm over here.
Oh, it was just a sack of.
it's a rotting log. Carmine, get up.
Okay. Really? Yeah. As you continue on your journey, you come to a point where you start to hear something, and you realize it's singing. And as you get a little bit closer, you start hearing it a little bit more clearly. Little child, it's time to learn. Little child, it's time to learn. Little over and over and again, and then you hear the soft crying of a child.
Son of a bitch. Okay. I'm crouching down, and it hasn't gone into Warhammer mode yet, but you see my finger is hovering over that the button of the Tarnished Terror as I'm kneeling behind a rock with you guys.
Are you trying to sneak in or what?
You know, honestly, okay, I don't think there's any way I can sneak, right? Do warriors have the ability to sneak, or is that an actual skill?
You could try.
I think that's a thief move.
Yeah, it's a thief move.
I'm just curious. Like, so no one can sneak, but a thief.
Well, you could probably mix it into defying danger because he could detect you. And that would be a danger. Mm-hmm. So that would be a dex roll.
Yeah, this was actually covered on the. Sorry to keep citing this guy's website, but like they covered all this stuff.
Okay.
Citing act despite an imminent threat does not mean a threat to you. Mm-hmm. The imminent threat, as long as you as the GM say like yes, there's an imminent threat to the child, then the fighter is acting in.
Done.
But what is the imminent threat to the child?
Mm-hmm. As you start closing in, you start seeing the creature. The creature is it's humanoid. But its limbs and its legs are like much longer than a normal human. It also has dark bluish skin. And its hands end in massive deadly claws. Its neck is almost serpentine. And its mouth is two tiny beady eyes. And a massive mouth that covers most of its face. And its teeth, the most screwed up thing is its teeth are not canines, but just each one is a massive molar. Its mouth is like almost like a permanent smile. And basically, in one hand is a child, which looks tiny because it's tiny, but tiny is massive hands. And his other hand seems some type of meat. Little child, it's time to learn. Little child, it's time to learn.
I'm I'm pushing away from you guys, and I'm trying to give distance between you guys and me because I'm running. Because I'm trying when I come out because I'm going to come out really quickly. I don't want him to know exactly where you guys are at.
Mm-hmm.
So you see me moving to the side. Towards the side, trying to get around him.
Okay.
And so, do I have to roll for that, trying to circumvent?
It would still be defined nature.
Okay, so
it'll be a dexterity roll.
Nine.
Nice. Nine, not a ten. So basically, now with a defined danger, it happens, but if I got this correctly.
On a 7 through 9, you stumble, hesitate, or flinch. The GM will offer you a worse outcome, hard bargain, or ugly choice.
Ooh, which is going to be... interesting. Okay, right. Then.
So what happens?
Okay. So as you're silently trying to walk through, you hear a snap of a branch under your foot. So I need to give you a hard bargain or an ugly choice, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can potentially immediately try to attack the creature, but there's a good chance it's going to harm the child while it's doing that. Or you can try to put yourself in a situation where you look weak, so it might attack you instead.
Yeah, okay, actually, you see that I look down as it cracks, and I hear, of course, the stinging stops,
and I remove my finger from the button, so it just looks like a small hammer. Mm-hmm. And I'm walking out, and you've seen me. What's my acting ability on this? It's not bad.
Okay.
My character just kind of blinks. He looks kind of like he walks out slowly towards the creature, and he points his hammer towards it, and he kind of a little bit of shaking his voice, saying, "Put the kid away. Put the kid down. I have a hammer."
He looks you over. He's like, the child needs to learn.
Well,
his big math mouth like opening slightly, his tongue loping out.
Leave the kid alone, or I will teach you a lesson.
Come here. He's still holding the kid. Come here. Maybe I'll give him to you.
What I'm doing is I'm walking towards the creature very slowly, and right before when I get into reach range, not close range, reach range, I'm slowly, I keep that hammer, and then I'm aiming it towards the guy's hand with the child, and I'm pressing the button of the hammer so it extends, and I'm trying to slam its hand so he drops the kid. Or slam its thin arm so it drops the kid.
Can I make a move before this guy?
Of course.
I know you. I've known you before. I know how this works.
Okay.
I know how your hammer works.
Okay.
Can we say? I've been like watching through the trees. I would like to do a called shot, one of my actual abilities, to its arms to make it drop the child, because I'm very much afraid that the hammer will crush the child, because I've seen how this hammer works.
I was aiming for its arm.
Yeah, but then if you roll a 6.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, wait, what's the qualities of your hammer? Bloody and messy?
messy and forceful.
And you wanted to use that in a
Yeah, no, that sounds like a precision weapon.
That's why
I said arm instead of hand.
I'm kidding.
I like your idea. You have a good intention, but the character's like, not worth the chance.
Well, I'm good.
I also like how Daniel's like, if I might interrupt, I'd like to use a real move, not this made-up shit you guys are doing.
All right, so... Awesome. That's a 9. So basically, I aim for his arms to drop anything they're holding. If it had been a 10, I would also have done damage. So no damage, but he like gets basically out of the trees. His arrow.
You see an arrow go right through his arm. He just drops it.
Almost like clockwork. As soon as I see the arrow, I just react.
I
hit the hammer. I hit the button that goes into Warhammer, and I kind of just lean back on my heels and spin. And then I tried to slam him right in the face.
It's going to be hack and slash.
Not hack and slash.
That's
the name of the move.
So this is your strength.
Oh, yep, so it's going to be your strength.
All right, cool.
Like, now, please, have her way.
Mm-hmm. And also have, like, it says it's messy and forceful. Does that give me anything?
It depends on the situation. It's more for role-playing.
Snake eyes. 4.
Ouch.
So, good news is, you just got an XP point.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Do I get an XP? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Bad news, I'm pretty sure I can attack him now, right? If he fails. All right. So, basically, you do aim it, and you see his thin body seem to, like, twist into, like, a curve, and the weapon goes through, over him, and basically, he takes massive club, just strikes up from navel up, trying to slice you.
Can you try to get me in the back, since I'm in a mid-spin, as I miss him?
Yeah. All right, so he's going to try
up and back.
He also has one piercing on his hand. Do you have armor on?
Yes, I do.
So it's one piercing, I think it goes to one armor.
I have 2 armor.
Alright, so this... So 5 damage to you.
Alright, so he does 5 damage. Mm-hmm. So my health...
I already calculated your armor.
Alright, so my health is 20 now.
Yes.
Cool.
So basically that's what you guys see.
Cool.
Yeah.
So those were his 2 actions, and you already did yours. What are you 2 going to do?
I'm gonna turn into another animal. Why not?
Mm-hmm. It's the trick that never gets old.
Yeah.
How long does it take you to turn into an animal?
Depends on her roll.
Yeah.
Does that depend on her roll? Okay.
The better the roll, the more immediate it is. Okay. If it's a low roll, then I guess.
If it's a low roll, it's probably really gross and disgusting and long. But if it's a awesome roll, it's kind of like probably one of her more beautiful. Like, it was a very pleasant looking experience.
Like, I mean, you got a low
There's
roll
lens
earlier.
Flares everywhere. She just transforms.
Lens flares. Wow.
Yeah, like you got a low roll earlier and said like 2 holds. So I'm guessing that would have been like 2 rounds for transforming. Okay. I guess or something.
Well,
like
no, because on a 10 plus, my hold is 3.
So I
think that's length of time that I get to stay in that form.
Okay, so then I guess it's up to the GM how long the transformation takes.
And also, whenever I take a new form, you tell Jesus, you get to tell me one or more moves associated with the new form.
Okay.
Oh, okay, so would explain why you had improved senses when you were
Wolf. Okay. Yep. Okay. And...
So
So yeah, we need to figure out what exactly. But I'm going to be a grizzly bear. All right,
You're going to.
Which I'm hoping. Can I just say that one thing I would hope that would give is more defense.
Yes, that would definitely give you more defense. And for sure, we're going to have to try to figure out what each animal gives you, etc.
5, 6, 7, 7. So I get a hold 2.
It's going to take you all. You're not going to be able to do anything this turn. What do you know?
Excuse me. Carmine leaps from the bushes and lands in front of the little child, waves his staff in front of the waves his staff defensively in front of the lizard creature. That's it.
Okay. So you're going to defend.
Keep it up, yeah. All right.
Now, actually, you can roll a defend.
Yep.
So roll. Basically, yeah.
Once he is under attack, I would roll.
Once you're under attack. All yep. right. Well, he was not under attack currently. So
correct.
All right. Creature's turn. He looks at I'm gonna say he doesn't see the grizzly bear happening yet.
He sees Siobhan run out and then go into a convulsion and drop.
Okay. Now you said you were a very large, portly man.
I am.
Okay. He looks at you for a second. Thinks that, and starts aiming again at the warrior.
What?
All right. What are you gonna do?
I'm just making this as cinematic as possible because I'm having fun. As he's charging me, as I stumble away and screaming in pain, as he's turning around and charging me.
Quick question. So if. How about if a creature attacks you? Does it just merely do its damage, or like does the player? Because the way I kind of read it is like basically the player's actions are the thing that really matters at this point. Like if I attack, they have to make a move against that, right?
As far as I could tell, that comes back to the statement: be the character's biggest fan as the storyteller. As far as I could tell from the listserv and everything I went to is that generally the actions work. When a character describes their fiction, it's going to happen. It says how they roll dictates what else happens.
So if I attack with a creature,
yeah, you would still roll attack, and then, I don't know because I don't have the documentation.
Mm-hmm.
As
far as I can just roll straight.
Honestly, the writer. For this game was on the website answering a question about combat, and it was a question about initiative, and said you basically only move the creature when the characters ask what is the creature doing.
The creature is aiming at you. What are you doing?
But as he slashes and I see this guy comes up, as he slashed at my back, I stumble away, and then it really turns into almost a kind of a graceful art style of kind of spinning and shifting my weight. I shift my weight, rotate my shoulders, and I bring up my hammer, and as it's coming towards me in a charge, I slam the hammer down on kind of the rocky surface that we're on, kind of in that forceful blast, I'm trying to trip him up, like send a little bit of, split the ground a little bit and have him, not like making a fucking, like, cave in or something like, but it's like... I'm unevening the ground where he's running towards me, tripping him up.
I would say that would probably be a defy danger.
Cool, I like it.
And that's pure strength. There's no
power in there. 7 plus 2, 9. Nice. 9.
Okay. So you succeed 9. With.
You kind of succeed, but you stumble, hesitate, or flinch. All
right. So what do I do?
So you get offered basically you succeed, but there's worse outcome, a hard bargain.
Yeah, there's a hard bargain. You do so, but you actually put it within its right. Like basically, like you're trying to just make a block against it, or
I'm trying to make it trip.
All right, then it does so. It starts to trip it up, but you put a little bit too much power, and you start falling into it as well.
Oh, that's funny. So both of you are basically you're like boom, and then both of you are shaking on your feet, like moving around.
Sure, earthquake happening in Africa.
Yeah, it's not like an earthquake. Like I pictured like the ground we're on is kind of an uneven slab of rock, and I just split the rock a little bit.
Okay, how are you doing?
Yes, I'm going to have my animal companion leap out from it where it was hiding and try and take down the my prey.
All right.
It's got ferocity +3, so...
Okay.
So
it's a hack and slash.
Yeah, pretty much. So, yeah, hack and slash, so I guess it's like... because its stats are basically ferocity +3, cunning +1, R1 armor, instinct +2, so I'm guessing it would be like dice plus ferocity for its attack.
I believe so.
Yeah, so...
If not, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, so I will roll and we'll see how this comes out. 6 plus 3, 9. So yeah, hack and slash attack succeeds. But the enemy gets a chance to attack back. But it also has it's also like tripped up by what just happened there.
He is so kind of tripped up, so I think he gets a negative one to his...
Okay.
But it still just has to roll on automatically rolls damage. It doesn't roll... It doesn't try to roll the hit, as I recall, right?
You do damage to the enemy. Enemy makes an attack against you.
Okay, so I'm just going to say minus one first because he's tripped up.
Okay. And it's got armor one, so...
Which doesn't matter.
Wait. It says the character makes an attack against you. It still has to roll its attack. It just doesn't do... I would say that.
Yeah, it doesn't like, specify...
It is, because I'm looking at this, and basically, no creature has, like, stats for, like... Basically, it has stats for damage, but it doesn't have stats for...
Strength. Yeah, because creatures don't attack you. You attack creatures, and then they sort of like, depending on how your roll goes.
Yes, they can potentially
either. Whatever you get it, it doesn't. It's kind of weird.
No, I'm good. Just, yep.
Go ahead. Yeah, it is kind of weird the way that works.
It hits you for two.
Okay, so it hits the rat for two. Well, no, technically, I guess it would be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, how are we handling the rats, like my animal companions?
How much HP does it have? Because basically, the rat, like, tries to bite it and causes. Like, how much damage does it do? Because it hit, but how much damage does a rat do?
That's actually kind of curious. Like, the stats are kind of weird. animal stats. I mean, it's a rat. It's got a base for
armor plus three,
cunning plus one, armor.
What's the constitution?
It's got three strengths, one additional training. Actually, you know what what that actually was? Mm-hmm. My command. You know what? I think that counts as my command move.
Because
I'm working with the creature.
Oh, okay.
Okay, here we go.
So much damage.
So when you work with your animal companion on something it's trained in, and part of what it's trained in is fighting humanoids, that's automatically training. The other thing it's trained in is scouting.
Attack rat?
Yeah. Dude, how giant attack rat. No, that's actually one of its aspects. Aspects are adaptable, ferocious, keen senses, but it has two weaknesses, frightening and stubborn.
Yeah.
So, like, here's my feminine. So, like, stop that. Okay, so I'm working with my animal on something is trained, attacking humanoids, mm-hmm. and I am attacking, it's attacking the same target as me.
Mm-hmm.
So I add its ferocity to my damage. So technically I was attacking, but it gets its ferocity to my damage.
Oh, okay.
So I guess I hit, my damage is d8, so I roll a d8 plus 3 ferocity.
Okay, that makes sense.
So that's how it actually takes. And I guess its attack is effectively against me because the creature is part of me.
Yes.
So,
okay, that makes sense. All
right. I guess, yeah.
We're learning, people. We're learning.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the thread that I was on basically said is like the weirdest system.
So I just
system.
Did 10 points of damage.
Okay.
That rat is hardcore.
Okay.
Real quick, Angela, how much hold did you get?
Two.
Two?
Yes.
Okay, here. Using chips so people can remember how much hold they get if they spend it or if it goes away or something like that. And also, yeah, no. The more I read into this game, the more they said if you're used to a traditional game system, which with our brains being filled with so many game systems that have like the concept of things like initiative and stats mm-hmm. and stuff like that, they said it's basically like going crazy. Like trying to learn this game is kind of hard.
Basically what I'm seeing is like my pet is basically just like its stats are bonuses to everything I mm-hmm. do. If I attack, it has its ferocity. Like, so long as I'm using the pet in some way.
Mm-hmm.
If I take damage, its armor counts as my armor, adds to my armor. Mm-hmm. If I parlay, it's cunning. Yeah, okay. So.
It's a badass, right?
Yeah, it's basically like your animal companion is basically like a magic item that gives you bonuses to throughout everything.
It's a rat for all seasons.
Okay, so basically the rat like charges through, climbs atop its back, and starts biting into its neck. And basically it claws it a little bit and just throws it away.
Yeah, so you and all then... see this happen. So wait, so I took two damage, right?
So it throws the rat into a bush, and it looks away like a super rat. Then you hear, it's out lumbering from the bush.
Okay.
Comes a giant fucking
and you see the chopper with the purpose bottle, which it should be a purpose bottle, goes...
Oh, turns into a frown?
It turns into a frown.
And attack.
Alright.
So I told you it took 10 damage from
it. I know. It's still alive.
No, I know.
Yeah, okay.
I'm perfectly aware of this. I wasn't sure if I told you how much damage it did.
Okay.
And
so I
have
my hit points in the back.
Come the fuck on. No.
Wrong dice.
Do you want glitter dice?
No, I've already changed dice twice.
It helps. You'll find your dice.
You'll find your dice, yeah.
You sure you don't want to?
Try the glitter dice.
I failed twice, so.
But I get more... XP.
Yeah.
So fun,
you're getting
yeah. So basically, when we rest, mm-hmm. You're going to be the only person leveling up and getting your like mm-hmm. your super because the next level you get your super move.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of the
All
right. So
sex move. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Well, I was going to take a move that gives me more damage, but it's like since I'm clearly not doing that,
mm-hmm.
I need to figure out a different move to take.
Okay. So basically, the Grizzly Bear tries to attack, and basically, it does another you and as it's as the grizzly bear's running, it does another slash across its side, doing. And I'm going to say you have an armor of 2.
Yay.
Grizzly bear. So, it's, but test piercing 1. Really, really, come on. 2 damage.
Yay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you disappointed with your dice rolls?
So you only take 1 damage because of your armor.
Because I'm a bear.
Because you're a bear.
Because I'm a bear.
Okay.
Hey, all right, David.
David, what are you doing?
All kinds of awesome things. Nope. I'm going to assist.
Yeah, basically you see the creature after seeing a massive grizzly bear come out of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
It's looking like he's gonna try to head out.
I'm going to aid. I just want to make sure that this is... I'm sorry, you said the snake person looks like they're about to bail?
Yes.
Okay.
Because grizzly bear.
There's no imminent threat.
You can either help or hinder someone if you're bonded with.
True. Yeah.
This is roll plus bond. It's like, what?
Every bond is a plus one.
Oh, yes. Okay.
So if you have multiple bonds with somebody, then you get multiple plus ones. Okay, yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Okay.
So I'm going to aid the bear. I'm going to aid Baloo here. I'm going to try to, the snake turns, the snake definitely moves out of the way of the bear claw and then claws the bear himself and then spins around and is immediately met with a whack on top of his head. And roll a scolding look in, scolding look in the cleric's eyes.
Okay.
So that's a 5. Rules. 6. Nope.
Not good enough.
Yep, so I get a point, and now I am totally exposing myself to danger. That retribution or cost. Actually, that's a 7 and 9.
Seven, I don't know.
Fail is just like, yeah, I guess you get...
I get attacks or some change.
You just... It doesn't necessarily have to attack him back. I could.
Yeah, you make a move against me. That could be like my staff comes out of my hands. My clothes catch on fire.
Okay.
I guess basically, as you're
pressing, he just slaps you. Not really causing damage, just starting making you roll across the floor away from the child.
Okay, so I'm prone. All right.
So you're prone, and then with you prone though, he's not aiming for the child, trying to run with him.
Now that he turns around, and gives a pleasant smack on the head. A pleasant smack on the head, and he throws you away, and then he feels my attempt at a smack on the head with my hammer as I come from behind and try to slam him behind.
Can we say that it's like the same motion, use the same muscles and everything, so like, whack, smacks me out of the way, and then he turns and he uses the same, like, whack, and his head explodes.
That's what I'm going to try.
All right, come on.
Come on. Ah! So 2... So
I thought at first,
5, 7, and then I get a 7.
Mm. Right, you still did it.
7, you still causing damage.
So, bam!
How much damage do you do?
How do I know what damage I do?
Damage is
D10. Damage. Oh,
D10. I think does your weapon give you a bonus to damage?
It says I get strength. No, I don't get damage. I just it's huge and messy. It's huge and messy. It doesn't give me a damage yet.
Yeah, but you are rocking a plus whatever from your strength to whatever you roll.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, so
it's a damage bonus as well.
Yeah.
So shouldn't I hit it? No, I didn't. I attacked the ground and tripped it up. Mm-hmm. That's right. 5 plus 2, 7. So bam.
Describe how his head explodes.
He's not dead yet. Mm-hmm. He's not dead yet, is he?
At your option, you may choose to do a plus 1d6.
It's huge and messy.
It's probably. Yeah.
This is not the final boss, for God's sakes.
this is important, though, especially for you, Billy, or for all of us who are getting a little frustrated with our attacks. Mm-hmm. At your option, the player, you may choose to do plus 1d6 damage, but expose yourself to the enemy's attack, even if you roll above a 10. Only if you roll above a 10.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
never mind.
Yeah, so okay. We still haven't achieved that yet.
Yeah, when I first read these rules, I was like, man, rolling a 10 is going to be easy with these bonuses. Like, no. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting my hat. Yeah. I turn around as he turns around. I've actually flipped my hammer to the around, disposing the sharps in. I just slam it right into his head.
Mm-hmm.
And then with a quick click on my button, the shaft extends. I slide back, grab it, and I twirl around and I twist my hands, uh-huh. cracking the skull open, yeah. spinning, and he does a little spin with me, whirlwind, and then he slams right on the ground.
Okay.
And Curacao, blood splatter.
I pull off my hammer, and then I kind of just fall to the ground. My back's bleeding somewhat heavily, I guess.
Okay.
I would like to, so long as I'm still a bear, because I'm a
great
bear.
Great sense.
I want to try to figure out if maybe all this commotion has attracted that unicorn that was in the area. So I want to know whether...
For certain realities.
Yes. See, and that is, it's wisdom. So theoretically, it should be good.
Yeah, theoretically.
Oh, that's a 6. That's a 10. That's a 12.
3 questions, go.
Yes. Okay. All right, I guess, what is about to happen?
There's a unicorn heading your way.
Okay. What here is useful or valuable to me?
Oh.
Are you about to rob, like, a magpie's, like, nest?
You see a small circular object on the person, like, in the one of the pockets of the creature.
Okay. And, let's see. What here is not what it appears to be?
I could just be saying, oh, the creature's here, but no, I'm not that much of a dick. You take a look at the creature. Obviously, he's not of this world, but it's just...
That's really not news.
Yeah, that's really not news. But as soon as you take away the ring, it just seems to change. The creature itself seems to...
Is the ring the shiny thing that was in his pocket?
Okay. Yeah, the shiny thing is in his pocket. See, ring thing seems to change, and it slowly turns... Well, it's not human, but it seems less fierce.
Alright.
It's still evil. It looks the same, but it seems less fierce than it was before.
I turn back into a human to take the ring out of its pocket, because I don't think grizzly bear paws are really good for...
Pickpocketing?
Yeah.
If Brave taught us anything.
So I...
Oh, so it becomes... you take the ring and it goes from a snake person to, like, a gecko man? Mm-hmm. That's so sad.
Yeah, and as I'm looking at the ring, it's like, the unicorn is on its way.
Oh, my back.
Carmine sits up. Unicorn? Oh, that's no good.
Yeah.
Let's get the child and go.
Yes. I'm using my hammer to push myself up. Mm-hmm. We gotta get out of here.
Yeah, basically, as you're all sort of, like, gathering yourselves, sort of, you know, gray-hooded figure drops out from under a tree. That big-ass giant rat just, like, goes... and runs up, like, you know, sort of, like, curls up around my feet. And, the features are kind of covered, but he's looking at Caddy's, you know, like, you're lucky. I know you. He just cost me 20% of my bounty. He was worth more alive.
Caddyus immediately tries. He was whining a little bit about his back. He was a little bit of a whiner, but as soon as somebody else is there, he straightens up, a hammer in hand. So you're a bounty hunter.
Well, gotta make a living somehow.
Well, thank you very much for your help, stranger. We very much appreciate it. Carmine takes a look at the kid and sees if it's injured at all.
No.
Okay. Scoops the kid up in one hand and carries his staff over his shoulder with the other. He's like, come on, we have to go.
I toss a glance towards the cloaked figure, and I say, if you're new around here, welcome to nowhere. And, well, there's unicorns, so watch out.
No!
Let's go. Let's go, people.
He's pushing through.
And we're running.
Okay.
Of course, he does toss another glance back towards the cloaked figure.
Yeah, which basically what you see is sort of like him, like, quickly, like, pulling out a knife from his belt and, like, chopping the monsters, because I gotta have proof of, like, my bounty. So, like, just, like...
This isn't a game where I can, like, spend something to make it funnier.
Go.
Billy's, what's the quality for your weapon again? Heavy and messy?
Yeah.
What head?
Yeah, the head is...
Now you really cost me.
The head is pretty much...
Congratulations, you just made his list of things to do today.
Yeah, exactly. You see me kneeling down, just like... cursing of a string, and then you know what, you recognize, like, those are the whenever I got, like, upset or, like, would stub my toe or whatever, that was, like, the string of, like, curses that I would always utter.
We are booking it out of there, but then you see me stop and I turn around and I'm just kind of, and my face, my hard features kind of soften for a second, then I say, Jonah?
I don't even look, but like, keep moving, unicorn's on its way. And like,
no! Yeah.
And then like, both Jonah and the rat like, sort of like, melt off into the woods.
And then we're booking it.
Alright.
Yeah.
Yep.
Alright.
Running.
Okay, I'm gonna say just, you guys head straight to town. I'm not gonna, there's no room for dangerous journeys.
Okay. Right. See if we get there in time, though. I mean, we are trying to outrun a unicorn in its natural environment.
Well, if you want to try to run a unicorn,
that'd be a defy danger, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are trying to outrun this fucker. It's chasing us. It has a smell on. It has
wouldn't
a
it be able to take a perilous journey because you're trying to rush back?
I don't know. I think
just, or especially, you're right, probably defying danger.
Yeah, because this is not a journey. I think we. Okay. It's a very small trip.
Okay, then all of you give me rushing back. Give me a constitution roll.
Okay.
Defying danger.
Is it? Anything about transforming into something?
I know. It's like, should I be a unicorn and try to claim that this is my prey?
That's your choice. I'm getting the fuck out of there.
Let's chase him. Shut up, Mr. Ned.
8 plus, I think plus 1, so...
9. Yeah.
Yeah, 8, 9. I'm booking it.
Okay. Actually... Defy danger on a 7 and 9. You stumble, hesitate, or flinch. The GM will offer you a worse outcome, hard bargain, or ugly choice. So we both got 9. So we're both going to have to make some sort of decision that sucks for us, but is good for the kid. I'm going to say selling our soul.
What?
Wait, what? What? I mean, sacrifice the kid to my god.
I would say for him and me, we get to the point where we kind of break out of the woods, and we see the town and the lights, but the thing is pretty much on our ass. The kid, we could send the kid ahead to rush to the gates with fair confidence that he'll get there with ease. Mm-hmm. But the unicorn catches up to you and me, at least.
I've got an idea.
Shoot.
You're already bleeding. We get to the edge of the forest. I whistle for my Chen Chen, which I don't. I don't put blinders on because that's cruel to animals. And I throw the kid onto the Chen Chen, and I point towards the town. And then I turn around to the edge of the forest, and I cut my hand open. So now it smells both of our blood.
Nice.
Okay, and I'm going to mark off a hit point for that.
Angela, what are you doing?
I'm going to be a unicorn.
This game has some fucking choice sentences.
5, 6, 7. Yep, I get it with a hold of 2.
That is beautiful. And I'm just going to look for a random creature that could be a unicorn.
Yeah, you guys would know that my character doesn't muzzle his Chen Chen, so there's always a Chen Chen just wandering around his property, just like being dumb and knocking stuff over.
You get in trouble by everybody. It's like, your Chen Chen's an idiot.
Yeah, they're all idiots.
Like, you try to keep it kind of not locked up, but in a gated area.
It's free range Chen Chen.
Yeah, it's a free range, but occasionally gets out and starts eating like everything.
Exactly.
It ate the clothing, like merchants. Like, it ate my line. It ate all the thread.
I don't know why
Is
I would do that.
Is there a move for rangers to talk to animals?
No, just my animal companion, basically. Okay. I think later on I can probably pick something out like that. Because
I can understand animals, but I cannot talk to them.
Yeah.
But I was wondering, is that something that's impossible to do?
Some move I can pick up later called Wild Empathy, which will let me speak with and understand animals.
Okay, so maybe that's what I need to check next.
But
right.
I don't have it.
Right, are you going to try to parlay with the unicorn?
Okay.
Not so much parlay as tell it to back the fuck off.
What did you roll?
I got a 7.
7? So you transform. This run you can't do anything. These guys, though. Basically, the unicorn is going to be rushing forward. What are you doing?
Going to...
To the two of you.
Oh, to the two of us. That's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going all Abraham Lincoln vampire.
I'm going to say... 1 to 5, 6 to 10. It's going after you.
Okie doke.
I might be... Might be having too much fun with like just the story element, but I am going.
I'm
seriously,
having fun turning into animals. So going town, babe.
Since I don't have the ability to turn into an animal, so all I have is a swing a hammer.
Someone's regretting his character.
I'm actually going to go Abraham Lincoln vampire hunter. That point where he slams like his axe into the tree and it just explodes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually going to turn. I'm trying to slam one of the not the bigger trees because that's probably impossible to do, but one of the medium sized trees. I'm trying to get it to collapse, trying to right in front of the unicorn to try to delay it.
Just defy danger strength.
What?
Defy danger. So roll plus strength.
Oh yeah. All right. 4 plus 2, 6.
That's a... Unless your weapon gave you something, that's a...
No.
Messy and forceful. Forceful.
Forceful? Okay, forceful would hardly help you. So you do it.
7, yeah.
With a 7, barely, but... basically, what I'm going to say... Yeah, basically, you're able to stop it for a quick second, but its horn doesn't impale you, because that'd be horrible. But part of it just slices across your skin.
Oh, hold on. Does it... Oh, okay.
It's poisonous, yes.
Okay.
Now, I was going to say, this is the part when we try to negotiate or something. How come? Oh, do we negotiate? Like, you offer me a hard bargain or something like that? Is that... Oh, no.
What?
Well, never mind. I hate this game.
let's try to figure out.
At one point, when you roll 7, you get to negotiate, hard bargain, and all that bullshit.
That's hack and slash.
That's actually, unfortunately,
no. The fight danger is outcome hard bargain and ugly choices.
Yeah.
Hack and slash is much simpler.
Hack and slash
is just damage.
Yeah. I'm sorry to say, actually, it's on you, Jesus. You should have told us what move was being enacted, was triggered by that, so that Billy would know exactly what the outcome is.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's true.
Because I don't what move. Just got triggered because there's no move smash tree.
There's
oh no, there is for the fighter. You bend bars, smash things. That's a fighter
bend
move.
Bend bars, lift gates.
That was a move that you just did.
Okay. You can use pure strength to destroy an inanimate object.
Oh,
bam!
Roll.
David did the homework. What?
So okay. 7 to 9. There it is.
You get to choose two of these options.
You can fix this thing again without a lot of effort. Nothing of value is damaged. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take a lot of time.
So that's definitely what it is.
And
I want that to be pretty instant.
Interesting.
Nothing of value is is damaged. Like, I am not hurt.
Yeah.
Okay.
I am just trying to delay this thing so we can have a unicorn on our side.
That is actually one of the... That is something that only your character can do, too, because you're a fighter. So you can do, like, random acts of magnificent violence.
Strength.
Exactly.
Destroy.
Yeah, great. All right, there you go.
There we go, okay.
Interesting, okay.
Nicely done.
You got me.
No, it's not a got you thing. Again, it kind of reminds me of the Fate system where you have to remember so much stuff about Evan's character.
And also, like, you especially have to figure out, like, what each creature, what its moves are, especially stuff we just made up. Because there's no thing in the book about evil unicorn. That's a creature I'm gonna have to like start.
That's with. A thing. That thing is a failing in the book.
Yeah, I feel like that's a shortcoming for many other. I also found that to be true about vampire.
No evil unicorn.
Yeah.
Because frankly, I think there's a general lack of evil unicorns gaming. And I think that's something that we as a gaming community should come together
on. We suffer from a unicorn gap for too long.
I will make an evil unicorn game.
I know. I'm gonna start a Twitter campaign. One reason why we should have evil unicorns.
Why Twitter? Let's Fandible's first Kickstarter. We need $10,000 to make an evil unicorn for every system.
For every game, we will make a coherent.
That worked. I found a creature that we can serve as the evil unicorn, the manticore.
Yes! Manticores are awesome!
What the hell's a manticore?
It's part lion and part lizard and like
part like giraffe
eagle.
Or something?
Eagle,
that's it.
And the tail's a snake, right?
And its tail's either a snake or like a scorpion, depending on like it's your interpretation. But whatever it is, it's usually poisonous.
Okay, so
it's the platypus of awesome.
So basically it has a sense of a manticore. Alright, that's so basically you pass with that roll, so you do delay it and now there's a unicorn.
Now there's a unicorn.
What are you
gonna
do?
I am going to be all unicorn.
How do you talk to animals?
See, that's the thing.
Is Struggle to parley, or?
Well, that's kind of what I was wondering. It's like, can I talk to animals? Because I have spirit tongue, which allows you to understand animals.
Okay.
And there is a hunter move that allows you to, or ranger, whatever
ranger
you want.
Ranger move that eventually allows you to talk to animals. Up to you, I guess up to the GM if you want.
Does it say anything under the animals, under your transformation thing? Does it say you can talk to the animal that you turn into?
The only thing it gives me is, with shapeshifter, it's you take the physical form of any species. You're a perfect copy of that species form. You have any innate abilities and weaknesses of the form.
I would say an innate ability is communication
to others of your race.
Okay.
Yeah.
Especially for relatively intelligent animals.
Yeah, and these things, that's the thing about
plus
they're intelligent, they're evil, but they're intelligent.
Yeah, they're like raptors.
Exactly.
Plus I would figure almost any hunting animal has a way to communicate back off this one's mind.
Done.
So that's what I...
Okay.
Am I using parlay to do that?
You're using parlay.
My friend once had a professor who insisted...
You basically hear the unicorn, flesh, mine!
Mine. Fine.
See, I was going to say, the evil unicorn language basically consists of various variations of fuck you. Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you.
My friend once had a professor that insisted that animals do not communicate.
They do. Yeah, they may not communicate Vassar words. College. They're not like, but soft, what are you out of window breaks? It is dinner, and back off, because it's mine.
Elephants have a fucking language, man. Oh, yeah. I read everything. Every thing. I know. Awesome. Don't get me started on elephants. My favorite animal.
And they only have to hear a word once, because they remember it.
Yeah. Okay. And no fuck with an elephant, they'd never forget.
Yeah, it's true.
So yeah, so she got a 10. That was
okay,
awesome.
Okay, so basically you hear from the unicorn, flesh, mine.
Mine.
Next flesh of mine, and just trots off.
Yep. Goes to the end. Oh, yeah.
My cleric is just standing there terrified. It's like a unicorn almost impaled him, a tree exploded, another unicorn showed up. Now everything's cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm staying in, just in case there's anything else hiding out there. I'm staying in unicorn form until we are in the gates.
Okay. Yeah. As we're approaching, I see some archers on the, and I hold up my hand, saying, "It's her.
Blood is power.
Blood is power. Blood is power.
Remember, blood is power, ladies and gentlemen. Blood is power."
All right. Yeah, we're getting into the gates, and I'm mumbling like, "Close the gates," and then I'm just kind of slumping against the side, holding my back in pain.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay, the gates closed, no problem.
Can we splash cut to the tavern?
Yes.
All right. Yeah, splash cut to the tavern known as, what's it called again?
The Salvage Yard,
which sounds remarkably like a bar I would drink at in my hometown.
Probably would. Basically, yeah, numerous tables, random people just talking to each other, a bar at the end with the halfling on a stool, although if you mention that, she'll slap you in the face. Mm-hmm. The halfling Sammy, just making random drinks for people.
Mm-hmm.
Often it isn't, she starts cursing somebody for not paying his tab for a while.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we sit down. Let's say that Cadius has been bandaged, but Carmine is neglected to give any sort of supernatural healing because it always involves invoking the name of his god in a prayer, and he understands and respects Cadius's desire to leave religion out of medicinal work.
Yep. I'll be fine.
I don't need your god to heal. Just
as we sit down, I'm placing a small tankard of ale in front of Siobhan, and I say, "It's not my decision. It's the council's decision to keep everyone within the town for the night. You can go out. You can leave the town in the morning. Okay? It's not so bad to be around civilized folk." Oh, I say as I slump down.
You put your giant bloody hammer down next to the table.
You often hear your hammer, "What the hell? You're tripping all over my floor."
Oh, there's always blood on the floor. It's just because
I expect you to take some ride to clean it up, and he throws it perfectly into your face, a wet rag.
Oh, I kind of...
Thank God you're not a Jen-Jen.
Yeah, I pull it. And I fall asleep. I peel it off.
Heal 1d6.
Yeah, I lazily clean it up, and I take a sip of beer.
Okay.
And then I just shake my head. It's like, I think that was Jonah.
Carmine kind of turns around to Sammy and waves at Sammy and says, "Thank you for the rag, Sammy. We'll try to clean it up." Jonah is dead, I thought.
He vanished within the woods 5 years ago, 6 years ago, maybe. 6 years ago next fall. But I am sure that was him. I mean, it definitely is not... I didn't get a look at his face, but... I mean, Siobhan survives in the forest. Did you ever see him in the forest
these years? No, and whoever that was did not smell of a hunter.
Perhaps he... I don't know. There was something about him. I would have sworn on my life that was his words.
I missed it.
Hmm?
And what troubles me more is this. A bounty hunter. And during when we were running from the beast, I didn't really think upon it until now. When's the last time we've ran into a bounty hunter? That was from my... my old plane 16 years ago. There were bounty hunters. I know of them then, and I'm sure you knew of them and your planes as well, but there's not really a bounty hunter in, well, the in-between. You either work for Sweet Town or you work for us, or you die by unicorn. There's no real third party, as from what I know. So where did he come from? I mean, does he expect it to be able to actually get out of this place? There's no way out.
Well, that's all very, very good. Those are all very good questions. I mean, another one, as long as we're just throwing them out on the table, is he's now either in Sweet Town, which would be unfortunate and very dangerous, or he's somewhere here. Because Siobhan can tell us there's no way to survive out there unless you have a home.
I survive out there.
You have a home. You
out there
have help from us. If Jonah,
I laugh out loud. I lols. As he says, like, yeah, you get help from us. And then I take a sip of my my mead and shake my head and says, or we get help from her.
No, I'm pretty sure that we help her. I'm fairly sure there would be a gap of objects in her cart.
Jewels keep her alive.
Really?
I pull out the coin that I took off the creature. It's like, no, I do quite well finding them on my own. Pluck.
I kind of lean forward.
Well, that's one. You had a card from us.
I pluck it up and I spin this coin around. I'm like, what is this?
It's a small coin. Basically, you can kind of understand it. It's a very small, like, probably silver coin. It says the word dis on it.
Dis.
He's got this.
On the other side, it says, expert. Your mother is so fat.
Mm-hmm. Do we know anything of this, any of us?
No.
Maybe?
No, actually,
spell
you,
lore.
You might know. Yes, you're right. So, wrote spell lore. Yeah. You would probably might know. Actually, yeah, I forgot. I completely answered. You would know about this. I don't think you actually have to learn.
Your call.
Okay.
Your call.
No, okay. Because of your backstory, you would know about this. You're right.
This is a town far away from here.
Well, very far, since there's only two towns within this plane.
Well, it's far and it's near, but that's if you use
near, far, where to?
Yeah,
no, but stop that! Right now. Stop that!
All right.
Whack!
Is it an effect?
it's a town that's a city on a different conceptual plane than this one. It's very, very far away, or near, depending on how you look at it. Well, you see, you need to walk a road 10 miles that goes on forever in order to get there.
Okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to let you pick out
one. I need more liquor.
We're going to let you pick out one story to tell us every day, and we're going to give you either a black mark or a red mark. And either way, they both mean I don't want to hear it.
Fair enough. This is a town that, as the legend goes, is growing. It's growing.
It's growing as in getting more citizens?
It's growing as in it grows.
I just kind of stare at you, then I just kind of shake my head.
Carmine just looks at you like you said it as clear as possible.
I just take a swig of my mead and just say, whatever it is, it's not our concern. If it was Jonah, I'm sure we will find something in the morning about it. If not, gentlemen, lady, it's been a pleasure. Of course, Siobhan, Mada, what was her name?
Murda
has allowed you to, if you need a place to sleep, I'm sure you could trade some of your jewels to the innkeeper or the tavern. I guess they don't really have an inn because there's nobody that comes around here. Or you could stay within her Jin Jin barn.
As a Jin Jin.
Yes, he has a Jin Jin.